Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of WeWork Radio. And Stone, full house now.
Hey, man, we have got a studio full. I think there's paparazzi walking through here. I don't know how many different segments we have in this episode, but you can just feel the energy in the room. But you can feel the energy in the entire place. As I made my seventh trip to the espresso machine just a little while ago, I mean, everybody just looks like they're having so much fun and so engaged. What a marvelous place to come and try to do your thing and put a dent in the universe, huh?
That's right. It seems like it's easier to make things happen when you got a bunch of people around here that are trying to make things happen.
Yeah. So we're doing WeWork Radio. This is our first shot at this formally, I guess. We've interviewed people who operate from WeWork.
Sure.
And we've talked to WeWork people, but we are broadcasting live from WeWork Tower Place 100 in a very beautiful conference room. Again, one of the key aspects, I think, is the proximity to the espresso machine, but this has been a lot of fun, and I'm lobbying for, I know we're already planning on maybe doing this, I don't know, once or twice a month, but can we just set up shop here and just have like a Business Radio X studio?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's make that happen.
All right, so let's get this show on the road. In a little while, we're going to be talking with folks from Hive and all kinds of companies, but first up, on WeWork Radio for this episode, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast VP of Operations for Info Tycoon, Mr. John Catalano. How are you, man?
I'm well, thank you very much.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Tell us a little bit about your work, mission, purpose. What are you guys out there trying to do for folks?
So we work in the multifamily industry, and we have a software platform that basically digitizes everything that the industry does currently by hand and has been doing that for many, many, many years. The industry is a little bit behind on the technology curve. So when they do inspections of buildings to either purchase them or sell them or just general inspections of their building, typically they do it by hand on a piece of paper with a pen, and somebody walks around and kind of looks at stuff. So we've taken that process and digitized it so that it's an app on a phone, mobile app. It can be on a phone, an iPad, an Android, any device like that. They're able to now capture all that digitally, and then we can report on it and merge that data with other data files that they have to create really valuable insight into their buildings and their properties that they own.
And then, so this is an apartment complex or a condo?
It can be, yeah. Technically, we can make this do anything, make it work in any industry. And there are some goals for the future that will probably take us to some other industries. Right now, we're focusing on multifamily.
And so, then yeah. What is multifamily? Is that apartment?
Multifamily is apartment, condo-type environments, buildings. We're also able to do some other operational inspections, too, for those locations.
So who is the purchaser of this?
So the purchaser of this is, we have a couple of different purchasers, right? So an owner of a building, a purchaser of a building, and we're starting to now run into companies that do inspections as their sole job, right? So they'll work for attorneys, they'll work for owners, and what they do with that is, so if I'm an owner and I want to see the value of my current property, I'll have an inspection. It's called a due diligence inspection or a walk inspection, and we'll walk the whole property, they will, using our software and collect information on each unit, each building, the common areas, all of those things.
And information meaning like how and what kind of shape it's in?
Yes, exactly.
Like
so they'll come in, and actually the way the process starts at first is is there's a form that's involved with it where they say, okay, we want to look at the kitchens, the bathrooms, the refrigerators, the carpets, the walls, right. those kind of things.
And this is stuff they would have done without your technology. They would do it just on paper.
On paper, right? Yeah, absolutely. They would do it on paper. So now that we'll take that, put it into our software, and now they'll be able to walk through each unit and mark, you know, good, bad, replace, those kind of things. And keep walking all of the units in every building. Mm-hmm. And then
it's kept there digitally.
Yes.
And then so that way they can keep track of things a little better than flipping.
Yeah. And it can be real time as well, but it is an offline type product. So they can use it offline with no internet connection or anything like that, and it'll collect their data and then synchronize their data later to the platform.
And then could a property manager or somebody who runs a property do this? Like if I'm renting to somebody, then I can keep track, and then when it's time for them to...
Yep. So that brings us into other inspections that our platform does. They're called operational inspections. That would be a make ready, in which Clio will be probably talking a little bit more about our latest product with that in a little while.
So that's a new iteration.
Well, we have one in our platform now, and we've made it much more robust, and it can do a whole bunch more things now.
So now, who did you bring with you?
So we got Clio and Christine. They're both on our UX team. And I'll let them talk about themselves.
All right.
Okay, so I guess I'll go first. I'm Cleo Henderson, UX Director at Info Tycoon. So basically part of the UX team. Got to come in. We have a lot of really great things going on right now. And there's been some growth with our team. We've taken a step back to look at everything for the company in terms of, like, how are we communicating with our customers? What is the product that we're looking to build? And really just taking a step back to make sure that we're evaluating ourselves as we go along to improve the current products that we have.
Lean in there.
There we go, right there.
That's like, a sweet spot, right. Cleo.
Like an MC.
Yeah.
So now when you're doing user experience like this, how do you go about doing that? Are you talking to the customer and seeing what they like, don't like? How do you kind of do your job?
Essentially what we do is Christine and I work together. Mm-hmm. Christine is phenomenal. Let me tell you, she's one of the best UX researchers I've ever come across. But what we'll do is we'll get together and we'll say, okay, first let's gain an understanding, like, who are the personas? Who is our target audience?
Right.
And let's gain an understanding, like, what is their day-to-day? Like, what is your day-to-day? What are the things that are ailing you in
where
your troubles?
Where are the pain
right?
points
where
you're
the pain
having?
Pain points, right? Like, where are the pain points? Because if we're not in the business of solving problems, then we're not really doing anything at all, right? We're just kind of wasting our time and wasting everybody's time, and we're not in the business of doing that.
Because these people, they don't know all that could be done, and you guys are the technologists that can save them a lot of headache and hassle. Mm-hmm. They just think that's the way it is, right? A lot of times that they don't know that there might be a way to automate something or to make a solution that doesn't require them to go and do something over and over again.
Yeah. And I think that it's out of that necessity where we can find, like, the innovation in that, right? Mm-hmm. To keep people from becoming slaves to their circumstances, so to speak, and allow them to win that time back. So we're really focused on allowing people to win that time back, get that time back not just for their business, because time is money, right?
So now what was the new vision and how did it come about?
The new vision came about, I think it was all started with a really solid foundation that was already in place, okay? So Christine and John and I, we're part of, I guess we'll say a militia, you want to say,
militia.
So to speak, right? I like to coin us, because we're small.
A multi-family militia.
Yeah, we're nimble, we're powerful, but we're very, very, across the board, everybody's extremely talented. Mm-hmm. And we still, even to this day, ask ourselves, like, how did all these people end up together,
These smart people in the same room.
How did end up, and especially because we're getting such a breadth of knowledge from multifamily. Mm-hmm. Some people are coming from hospitality industry.
Right.
And from multifamily side, it's not just a property management side, but now we have individuals on our team that are also have, like, over a decade in multifamily and single family and even, like, asset management at the collegiate level, mm-hmm. right? So we're making sure that we can cover all the bases for our customers, so to speak, and making sure that they're the ones that's building the product, because we're building the products for them. So we do a lot of our research to make sure that we are hitting those pain points and that we are discovering things that we didn't even realize or they didn't realize that were pain points, right? Which is like the eureka aha moments, right? That we hit and we're really excited about.
So what's the latest thing that you guys were high-fiving about?
Oh, there you go. Perfect segue for you there.
Perfect segue.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was hoping he does.
Let's talk about what we're going to display at OpTech today. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So one of the really cool things that we have going on right now that we're focused on for Q1 and Q2, the first one, which is the current due diligence inspections that we have that John spoke to earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So we have some really great enhancements that came back from that to really speed up things, right? Speed up things. Not just in terms of the process and the workflow, but also like the syncing, right, and the reliability of that. The other product that we have is the Make Ready, right? So Make Ready typically deals with like your move in and move out inspections, right? So what we've done is what we have coming for Q1. It's an all new great experience. All of our customers kind of built this, which is really great. But it simplifies everything from a visual standpoint across the board. No matter what level you're looking at, you're understanding the who, what, when, where, why, and how of every single aspect of that process. Because right now, the problem that's in the industry is typically with the make-ready process, people are living off of paper, as well as their dry erase boards that are in back rooms, like in the dark, right? Like in the dark, covered in cobwebs.
So that's how it's done.
Yeah.
Because some of these industries are much slower to adopt technology. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. Is that one of the biggest challenges, is to kind of have them take that leap of faith?
That is a huge challenge, right? Because we're dealing with people that are used to working with their hands.
Right.
Right. Not so much a lot of technology. So now we're bringing these technology platforms to them. So we have to make it really easy to understand, easy to use, because the reality is, if it's complicated, they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes more than a few seconds to actually look at it and figure out what it is, they don't want
to
see it.
It has to be intuitive.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. what Cleo's referring to now is, you know, with the Make Ready board. So one of the things I think Christine and Cleo together may have identified during their research is that in every one of these property management buildings where the property managers live, like their little alcove in the basement there, there's a whiteboard. And on that whiteboard is their life.
All the numbers, right? Yep. Of all the
units, what they're supposed to be doing, how they're supposed to be doing it, what it's supposed to be done by, all of those things. And the interesting part that they were able to uncover is that the way that they work with that board is they go, look, what am I supposed to do now? Oh, it's 8:00. I need to go to unit 101 and replace the door. They go to unit 101 and they replace the door. Then when they're done, they go back
to the whiteboard. Mm-hmm.
Back to the whiteboard. Maybe put a little check next to it, right?
And cross it out.
And then go try
it,
to see, which one of these items do I want to do next?
They got to kind of prioritize it on the fly.
And it's all on their own, right? Yeah. And management has no visibility to that. Nobody else in the chain of command really knows anything until they submit their paperwork that says, oh, we did that. If they forget to submit the paperwork, guess what? Nobody knows it was ever done.
Yeah.
Right? So what they were able to do is take that and visualize it in the software. So mm-hmm. now their Make Ready board, that's what we're calling it, the Make Ready board, which is normally in that supervisor's office or whatever, is now on everybody's device.
Right.
And is visibility up and down the chain.
So everybody can see where things are.
You can see when it is, how it happened, when it happened, if it didn't happen, when it was supposed to happen, all of those details.
Yeah.
Now, Christine, what was your involvement in this?
Yeah, so I am the UX researcher for InfoTycoon. So I think of myself as being the advocate for the customer in the room.
Did
right?
you have to talk to them, or who spotted the whiteboard?
Yeah, well, all of us, because we all went out to
together.
The properties
right.
Together and watched what our customers were doing.
Right.
We had quite a few interviews on the phone, but I think there's no good replacement for contextual inquiry, which is just showing up and let me hang out with you for a day and
see
what your actual
practices
are. So
you just sit in the corner and just kind of watch and ask questions about why do you do it that way?
Exactly. So one of my favorite examples of that from customer interviews is, you know, I talked to a property manager and he was telling me about his practices, his standard operating practices. He said, oh, you know, Christine, when our maintenance workers go out, they've got this 12-page inspection form that they take with them.
And he means actual pages.
Actual
paper.
Pages right. of paper that they take out.
They're not
and then,
virtual pages.
You know, they fill these out. The supervisor fills this out. He gives it to his team. They fill it out after they've completed the work, and then they come back and they update their property management system and the whiteboard. Isn't that nice?
See how smooth this can
Right, wrap right. It? Well, the reality on the ground right. is that 50% of any property's units turn in a year. Mm-hmm. 50%. So, right. And they have generally about a week to turn those units. And not only are they reluctant to adapt the technology, they're reliant on vendors to come in and do things on their behalf. So they're at the mercy of someone who's doing paint or changing the carpet to get that unit done on time. So I talked to the manager, and then I went and did some ride-alongs, as it were, with the property supervisor. And he said,
how it is in real life.
Yeah, he says, Christine, you know what I do? He goes, this is the thing that I use. And he pulls out a big roll of blue painter's tape, and he says, you see this? I take this, and I take a little piece of tape, and I put it on every single thing that needs to be fixed. I send my team in there, and then when they're done, then I go back and fill out the paperwork. One, because he's saving his team time, and two, because most of his team didn't speak English.
Right.
So I think that those insights are brilliant. I think workarounds are actually a really interesting way for us as technologists to think about how software can serve the realities of the boots on the ground, as
it were. And that's a good kind of a management, kind of a look at how management in their head from up high thinks about how things should be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And the people that do the work are like, I'm going to figure out my own way. Thank you very much.
Right,
and then if you want me to check four boxes and spin around three times, I'll do that in front of you if that makes you happy. But that's not going to be part of how I do my work.
Right.
And they'll figure out their own way because they're the ones who have to do the work.
Yeah. And no one's served by those cumbersome processes. Right. You know,
did the management even know about the blue tape thing? Oblivious, right?
They did not.
They had no idea.
Yeah, and I don't, like I said, I don't think it's any form of deception at all.
He's trying to make it happen.
He's trying to make it work, exactly. As everyone is. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, in addition to capturing information about these inspections, our platform's really powerful in terms of reporting. Mm-hmm. But your reporting is only as good as your data entry.
Right, exactly.
So we're really trying to be conscientious and thinking about how do we make it super easy for the folks that are collecting that data to do it quickly and accurately.
And easily, and everything just works.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now, did you tell the guy about the blue tape?
No, but I definitely
now he knows.
But I definitely made sure to tell that and show a video of that to my team when we came back and had our debrief. So that's the other thing I do. I ride along with our customers. I get the realities down of what their jobs actually look like, what they need, what they don't even know they need.
Right.
And then working really closely with our amazing designer, Cleo, and with our developers on the product team to think about how we build for that, how we build for real problems.
Yeah. And then, so then when you have this learning and then you create a solution, then how do you get the blue tape guy to actually trust this system better than his system that's worked for him for a while?
That's a really great question. Mm-hmm. So right now, because we are in the middle of a kind of the new product vision, we're doing a lot of generative research, right? So just kind of seeing where we could go. But once we have a product, we'll be doing evaluative research. So right now we're recruiting among our customer base, forming a customer advisory board. And these are going to be clients who are going to be our alpha test partners, right? So once we have a minimal viable product, we'll be able to go and work with them and see how it works in real time before we release it to the rest of our clients. Which is going to be extremely helpful. So we will be able to go back to Blue Tape Guy and say, like, hey, is this worth your time? Let's test it with your team on your
like
terms.
On a small
right. scale. You got it.
It doesn't scare them.
You got it. So it doesn't scare them. And it also gives them a sense of ownership. You know,
right.
Cleo mentioned.
And their authorship, too.
You got it. So they are a part of the work that we're doing here. And that feedback is really valuable to us.
Right.
Yeah.
And now you've been in business for a while, and you've been recognized. You've won awards.
We have.
And then, so this is an exciting time.
It's a very exciting time at Info Tycoon. So we've been an industry leader for the last 7 years. And now some other people are coming into the market, flooding the market, because they see the potential of this type of software. And we're changing the game on them again. Mm-hmm. So in the next few months, first quarter of next year, we're going to come out with all new software, all new platform. The technology behind what we're doing now is going to far surpass anybody else out there.
Yes.
Some of the things that I'm watching our team do now, Let me explain a little bit, step back a little. I have 25 years of experience in the IT industry. I'm very well versed in Microsoft platform, in infrastructure and things like that. I'm watching our team of developers in real time put up on a TV screen all of the functions of the platform that are going on in the background. Real time. So everything is real time. So as they're testing, we can see real time what's happening with the software, how it's interacting with the back end of the software or the portal side of things, how it works over the internet, if there's any issues, problems. And they're able to drill down through the software directly to a device and actually see into that device, the software on that device, as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. I've not seen that in my entire career at this point. Anybody use the Azure infrastructure to that level of granularity to be able to get down there? Truly is amazing. So that leads us to some of our team, right? So some of our guys are come right from Microsoft Azure development team. So that's why we have some really advanced technology going on in the back end. Everybody's in-house now. In the past, they were external developers, maybe detached, I would say, in terms of being part of the industry and part of what we do.
So now you're all on the same team.
We're all on the same. Not only are we on the all the same team, they're all in the same room.
Oh, yeah. So really we want to participate.
Yeah. How does that change the dynamic? Because a lot of people outsource a lot of things, but when everybody's in the same room, how does that, well, in terms of speed, I would imagine?
Tremendous value to everybody on the team. So Christine was talking before about her research and then bringing it back into the team. So now our developers, who normally would just be coders, somebody would say, build this. They'd say, oh, yeah, I could do that.
Give them and a Red Bull and some now, Cheetos and let them loose.
Now they're getting to see, feel, and understand exactly what's going on for the user. It helps them tremendously when they're coding to understand and to be able to interact with the other team members to say, hey, wait a second. We wanted to – you asked us to go in this direction, and we looked at that. But then when you brought this information into us from the customer, I have another idea. Mm-hmm. And that's what the new Info Tycoon is all about, is sharing information. Yes. That's why our customer success, our salespeople, our UX people, and our developers sit in the same room. So at any given time, we'll see heads pop up when somebody's on a phone with a customer or something like that, because they heard something that triggered in their mind, oh, I can help. And they'll get up and they'll go help. In the past, it really wasn't like that. It was a traditional environment. We talked about it briefly that our office was in Roswell. And what happened there was it was a traditional office. We were separated, siloed. So here, everybody's in the same place. The environment has changed the company dramatically, all for the positive.
The ability to have these kind of collisions and these kind of impromptu conversations, that has accelerated.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
the process.
It has, and it's really changed the way we work. Mm-hmm.
Were you skeptical about that?
Oh, I was a little skeptical at first, and we talked also briefly before about KP. This is KP's vision, right? So KP kind of came to me in the very beginning when I came on board and said, "Hey, I'd like to get everybody together, put them all in the same room here at the WeWork location, and let's really make some things happen." And at first I was like, that's probably not a good idea. and some of the employees felt that as well. But we all agreed that it's worth a try. And literally the second week, I had employees coming to me saying, this is the best place I've ever worked. I love doing this. And my life is so much easier now that I'm able to see a developer sitting next to me and say, hey, does this really work this
way? Right, when you can roll your chair over to someone and have a conversation and then really understand, that must be better, I would
think. Open work environments have kind of a bad rap, and there are times where it's just like, I need you to be quiet.
I need some privacy.
Yeah. But what's been really interesting for me to witness is that, you know, people have been stretching beyond their job titles. So we've got, you know, folks in client success who are now working, you know, I call them adjunct product folk.
Right.
And I have developers who, as John said, would have never have left the office coming with me to do those inspections.
They want to see it with their eyes.
Exactly. So it gives you a holistic appreciation of what we're doing.
Right. So that's interesting. That'd be a good case study.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah. Absolutely. It brings everybody on the team together. So the whole company
and
now
you're
is
together because you're together physically.
Yeah. Physically together.
It's not like you're all separate and different, doing different things. You don't know what anybody's up to. Everybody is working hard and busting their butt to make this work.
Yeah. No secrets at all. Right. Everybody knows what's going on in everybody's lives. It's a much better environment. Absolutely.
Wow. So you be sure to tell the WeWork people that.
Yep. We do every day. Yeah. We love this place. And you can bring your dog to work. So
that's a bonus. Yeah. So now, if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation, where do they go?
Well, they can start at our website, www.infotycoon.com. That's the best place to start, actually. So it kind of gives you a little vision of what we do, who we are, and those kind of things. And then from there, you can go to our contact, and it'll put you in touch with us.
And your ideal customer are the multifamily.
Multifamily, we do a lot of work with the colleges as well. So we have a bunch of different companies that do move in, move out for colleges.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you having us.
Oh, yeah. Keep up the good work. Hey, how about staying with us? We're going to visit with a couple more guests.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right. I'll switch out.
All right. Next up on WeWork Radio this afternoon, we have with us Veronica and Dana with Hive Talent Acquisition. And I think one of the first questions I have of both of you, I'll start with you, Dana. What, if anything, did you learn in that last segment? Did you pick up any new knowledge?
So much. Congratulations to you guys for being so successful in your industry. That was very over my head. I mean, I can be completely honest with you. That was very over my head. But sounds like important
they're rocking it, right?
Technology, and that they're rocking it, yes.
Yeah. So do you echo what they described as sort of the, I don't know what the right word is. I'm going to use the word vibe. Of just being in this WeWork environment, would you echo that same sentiment?
I would, and I think vibe is a perfect way of describing it, because Veronica and I can attest one of the reasons we chose this particular WeWork was the vibe. Mm-hmm. It's buzz, it's buzzworthy, it's experimental, so many different kinds of people, cultures, backgrounds coming together. Definitely a good place to be and a good place to network.
Well, tell us about Hive. How are you serving folks?
Hive Talent Acquisition Firm. We're so excited. I'm super nervous, by the way.
Well, you wouldn't be able to tell it.
Yeah, I think I'm schwitzing over here. So Hive Talent Acquisition Firm, we have just hit a year last week, November 6th. We've been in business for a year. We represent the HR business solutions and recruiting side of things. One side of our business is recruiting. We specialize in transportation engineers with civil and environmental backgrounds. We also have a specialty, particularly in the administration, admin clerical environment. We do a lot in IT, which is actually Veronica's specialty and background, and hospitality as well, also her specialty and background. Between the two of us, we have over 22 years in the recruiting human resources industries, as far as working both in-house corporate as well as agency. And we decided serendipitously at the same time that we thought we could do it better. That's why we're here.
So you were working for maybe a larger entity. Did you know each other? And you said, let's go and take a swing at this ourselves?
Exactly. Veronica and I met on the job. We were recruiting on the same team at one point. And again, serendipitously last year, decided, you know what, we can change this. We can do this so much better than we're being taught and told to do, and we did.
So now, Veronica, was this your first venture into something entrepreneurial like this? You always work for, or you're a serial entrepreneur?
Actually, yes, I am a serial entrepreneur. My first entrepreneurial exploration, I guess you would say, would be that of being a private chef.
Oh, so
yeah. Oh my.
So what happened there? Why'd you give that up?
I didn't give it up. I took a departure.
sabbatical.
A sabbatical. Truth be told, I got married, and I was told, listen, I understand you're good at everything, but pick something.
That is so her wife.
So I picked HR because I feel that no matter which avenue I would have chosen, I would be in a position to change people's lives for the better. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is my calling. So here I am, and I still cook on the weekend.
That's right. So now, now you decided to go off on your own. How are you different?
I can answer that.
All right, fire
Simply,
away.
We put the people back in human resources.
The human in human resources?
Yes, very much so. Dana and I are very passionate about the experience, not only for our clients, but also for the candidates. We find that a lot of people that work as recruiters and in human resources in general are very detached from the people because it is kind of like a churn and burn industry.
So they're just filling slots. They don't care
filling
about
slots,
the person.
Moving on, getting the job done, moving on, whether it's benefits, whether it's interviewing. It's just, hey, nice to meet you. Goodbye. And that's not what we do. That's what makes us different. We take a vested interest in every single person we're working with, whether it's a client, whether it's a candidate, whether it's an intern or an apprentice. We work really hard to make sure that they know that we're here for them as a resource.
And then, so in the industry as a whole, it's typically not that way.
Definitely not.
Like what percent are kind of boutique-y like you and customer-centric?
Let's just say small percent. I mean,
like 5-10%? Is it that dramatic?
I don't know if I could.
I would say maybe 35%.
Right. So two-thirds are just kind of burn and churn and just like we're just going to give you a bunch of people and we'll figure it out. And
the
not
term spaghetti against the wall, throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks comes to mind in that sense a lot.
And then now what made you specialize in the areas you specialize in?
I have a 9-plus-year background in legal, accounting, and finance recruiting. Mm-hmm. Veronica, as stated previously, has a significant background. She can talk about admin clerical and transportation. And shameless plug to my husband, who got us into the transportation industry because he is a civil engineer here in Atlanta.
Right. And then so his background helped kind of open the doors.
It's all about networking, right?
Right.
So it's all about who you know and when you get involved. And man, he got us involved at the perfect time.
And then that, and you were able to deliver, and then that's how you kind of are now in that space.
That's correct. Yes.
I want to hear about this swarm society. I see the badge on your chest
hey,
there.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
The swarm society is actually our latest and greatest accomplishment. What it is a division of Hive Talent Acquisition Firm. It is dedicated specifically to interns and apprentices. So anyone that is enrolled, because there's no age requirement for this, the Swarm Society is a club or a collective of individuals that are looking for an internship or an apprenticeship that in an industry that they have a vested interest in. So if they're going to school for civil engineering, for example, we're not going to put them in an internship that's for sales or business development because that's not what they're looking to do when they graduate. And the purpose of the Swarm Society is to get them ready to present themselves as the intern to hire or the apprentice to spend time with and hire.
Now, are these internships, they could be paid, unpaid, or they all have to be paid?
They do not have to be paid, but they are. We try to advocate for payment of the interns, naturally. But we do have some interns that come to us and say, hey, I just need credit for the semester.
Uh-huh. So they could be college age as well. And this, you work with the schools to help them?
They're not only just college age.
But it could be anybody.
We also have high school. We have
help me understand the business case on this. And I recognize some of this is because you're just nice people. And you want to help. But I bet you there's a bottom line business imperative underneath all this, right? This is good business, but why?
This is good business for many reasons, right? I mean, it's a win-win on the recruiting side. You're helping a client find our candidate. We get paid for that, but they find and retain, hopefully, the best possible quality of employee.
And they get them early.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Train them up.
And you're getting kind of a first look of some of this talent, too, right?
Yes.
So that when it's time to get the real job, then you guys are available there.
Exactly. And truth be told, if you think about it from the perspective of an entry-level or early career employee that's going into a corporate environment, they know their HR team does not have the time to spend educating them and guiding them along. But they have us. Once you're in the Swarm Society, you are in. They do not pay. They come to us as a resource for help. Hey, I'm having a hard time. You know, it's the second week of my job, and I'm just having a hard time adjusting. Give me some tips on that. Well, let's call Dana and Veronica and get their advice.
Wow. So have you guys kind of become early career, I don't know, what would you call it, gurus?
Fairy godmothers.
Fairy godmothers.
But you know some things about providing counsel to someone early in their career that a lot of us old folks would know, right?
Well, yes.
We do.
Yes, and the cool thing is right now a lot of companies are faced with the challenge and the blessing as well of a multi-generational workforce. Okay, so you have people of all ages, walks of life, backgrounds working in the same company. It can be a challenge for the management team to deal with. Enter Dana and Veronica, because we are multi-generational as well. So we can speak to that experience, and we provide that assistance to them.
We provide that consultative service, which is really nice.
Now, how about some tips for people that are dealing with multi-generations? What are some do's and don'ts?
Big do, embrace the differences. Big do.
Tell them all about how it was in the old days.
How much harder it was.
Yeah, tell them everything is old school. I'm old school. People love hearing
love
that, right?
Love, love that. Yeah.
Don't say my way or the highway, because I guarantee you it's not the best way to go about building that team, that spirit there.
Don't stereotype. Avoid those stereotypes. The typical, Veronica despises this, I despise this, that typical, air quotes, because we're on the radio, right? See, hear my air quotes, right? Millennial, you know, mentality of work is such crap. I almost cussed. Wow, that was bad. It's such BS, because it truly is. We actually have statistical knowledge that we could share in greater detail at another time with anybody who wanted to know regarding the facts around that or the negative, you know, lies around those terms. Yeah.
I'm a millennial.
Are you really?
Shocking.
All right, so but you're providing this education, this counsel, this perspective to both constituencies, both the young person early career, but also to, you know, the middle-aged guy that is really struggling with how do I build my organization in such a way that it provides a marvelous opportunity for a Sanjay and we get return on investment from bringing in a Sanjay.
Yes.
For those of you who can't see and you're listening on the radio, we have Sanjay with us.
Gorgeous Sanjay over there in the corner.
Yes.
Hi.
But she's the future of our company. I mean, Lee and I may not be that bright, but we're smart enough to recognize that, right?
Yes.
And we don't want to screw it up. So you're providing counsel. You can help Sanjay and you can help us. You can
absolutely
help everybody.
And make everyone happy, and then you retain Sanjay and anyone that she recommends and so on and so forth. And you're not coming to Dana and Veronica paying a fee for us to keep replacing your workforce.
So now, this kind of serving the customer in this holistic manner, that seems unusual in this industry as well.
You are correct, yes. It's a little unusual, a little unconventional, I would say, but again, has proven and put us on the map. I mean, shockingly enough, not just in the transportation industry, but several other industries that we work very well in, manufacturing as well as supply chain and logistics. We've had people come back to us and just say, thank you. Thank you for listening, not just hearing, but taking the time. And that shocks us because we're like, who's not listening? Like, why is nobody listening to what you're saying?
I want to listen to you. Yeah. So odd.
But why would it kind of boggles the mind that, because everybody on their mission statement says people is their most important asset.
You'd be surprised that the soft skills are as out of whack as you would think. That's correct.
So on one hand, they're at least talking the talk, but they're not actually walking the walk. So when you're coming in there and saying, yeah, we really do those things, their head explodes?
Until it's actually pointed out in a professional manner, of course. It's not like we're telling people you're dumb, stop, right? Like, never. We are HR professionals to an extent, right? But, you know, when we come in and we do consultations with HR groups or talent acquisition teams or recruiting teams and pinpoint these things, it gets very specific, and it's kind of like the light bulb goes off. Oh, okay.
Right.
And it can be something as simple as sending a follow-up email and saying, hey, thank you for coming to interview at our company. We welcome your feedback. And I mean this by reaching out to the candidate,
right?
Say, tell us how your experience was during the interview. That makes a huge difference.
And to piggyback off what she just said, we take it to that next level in communication. Not trying to be like, oh, look at us, but, you know, being in human resources, networking is our thing. Our networks combined are quite vast. And so if we can't help a client or a customer from the candidate or the client side either way, we will point them to our networks. We will get them networked. We will do intro emails. And there's someone out there in our network who can help them.
Right. And then for you, what do you need more right now?
truthfully, we need investors.
So investors, not clients. You want investors?
I mean, would never say no. You know, we're too small at this point to turn down business. So would love and be honored if anybody mm-hmm. listening had business for us on either end of the spectrum. But since you asked, first and foremost, we are looking for investors. Yes, we need money so we can hire more wonderful staff to serve the greater Metro Atlanta area.
So you have a lot of opportunity. You just need more staff to help.
That is correct.
These matches.
We're at a point where we have so much business, we don't know what to do.
So now, when you say so much business, that's so many businesses saying, "Hey, help me find me candidates."
Correct.
Help me
yes,
find
sir.
Interns. Help us find candidates to fill our open positions. It's like mad dash to January.
Is it just the two of you right now, or you have?
We're fortunate enough that it's not just the two of us anymore. We have three wonderful recruiters and two wonderful interns.
Okay, but you need more funding to get more of those.
That is correct. Yes.
So that's a good problem to have in some ways,
it's
right?
It's the best problem to have if you think about it, right?
Right. So now for you, if somebody wants to learn more, what is the best way to get a hold of you guys?
Hive, www.hivetaf, so www.hivetaf.com is our website.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming by and visiting with us. I find the way that you frame up your work and the mission and purpose and the way you guys choose to approach it, I find it inspiring. I think that mindset is just it's refreshing. And I hear a very service-oriented attitude toward the whole thing. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. And WeWork is part of the reason why we've been so successful.
Really?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, that is good to know. All right, and so investment capital, you're not just going to line your pockets, but you have specific designs on if you can capture some investment capital.
We have a plan. Absolutely. We have the plan. It's written out. It's ready for people to take a look at. Absolutely.
What are you looking for? Is it hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars?
Hundreds of thousands of, yeah, nobody's going to turn around and say no to millions, right? If you have $1 million that you would like to donate to Hive, or if you would like to put us on a payment plan, we will absolutely talk to you.
Is it a loan, or are you looking for equity investors?
We're looking for everything and anything.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming by.
Thank you so much.
All right. Lee, you ready for the headliner?
I am. This gentleman is what we've been waiting for.
Hey, he has been so patient. He's in like his third chair. We've been playing musical chairs because we have all these great guests in here this afternoon. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast certified public accountant, tax and book, Mr. Tyrone Shanks. How you doing, man?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, hard act to follow, man. I'm sorry about that. But, I mean, we just really had some inspiring guests in this episode, haven't we?
Yes, we did.
All right.
So tell us about your work. How are you serving folks?
Okay. I like to help people by preparing their taxes, and also if they receive tax letters from the tax authorities, I try to address those issues for them in the best possible way that I can for them.
So now what brought you to WeWork? How come you didn't do this out of a traditional office or out of your house even?
Okay, so I've been kind of freelancing for 15 years. So it just got kind of working with other CPAs, you know, working with the tax giants out there. That's kind of like how I got my start with H&R Block, Jackson Hewitt. And then working with other CPAs around and EAs around. So this just gave me an opportunity to kind of have a place. If someone wants to meet with me, we can sit down and we can, discuss their issues and resolve the problems. So a lot of times when I work for other folk, everything is pretty much done over the phone with a fax. So I thought WeWork offered me a nice opportunity. If I needed to meet with someone, I could. And if not, I could just, come here and kind of do some work.
So do you have your own office, or are you working in the kind of hot desk area?
Right. So right now, I don't do a lot of work out here. I try to come in here and do some marketing. Try to let some people know what I do and then kind of move from there.
And then, so you worked for larger firms. Now, when it's your own firm, how do you do the business development part? I would imagine that's tricky.
Right. So I'm trying to build a client list right now. I'm just reaching out to people on my LinkedIn list, letting them know what I do and trying to find someone to assist me with that.
Oh, so you're looking for kind of maybe a biz dev partner?
That's correct. And really, I want to kind of grow a little bit differently. I want to get a marketing person and a salesperson really to to bring other tax preparers in and kind of be on the review side. So making sure that they, engage in proper gathering of data and that they've done a, have someone look over their tax return.
Well, when you first start business. When you first start talking to some of these candidates, my recommendation would be tell them it's your way or the highway. Maybe not. Did I get that, counsel?
It might be the complete opposite. One or the other.
And then in addition with that, some people might be out there. If we can get them to join, if I can get those partners I want, they get them to join. And then they have the opportunity to work under CPA if they take the exam, and they also can get their license.
Oh, it's almost like an apprenticeship?
That's correct. But, they'll get paid for doing their the clients that they bring in. But they'll get paid more than working at H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt.
Right.
There goes that sponsor dollar.
Excuse me. Thanks, Tyrone. Yeah. So now for you, what when you're on your own, what has been the most rewarding part?
I like to provide people with that help that they should be able to get from those entities that are telling them that they owe all this money at this certain time.
Because that's scary, right?
Right. So, I'm able to get on the phone sometime with them and get things reduced, get some paperwork for them, and then they don't even owe nothing. That can grow a lot.
So now for you, are your clients business owners? Are they individuals that work at normal jobs? Like who's your typical client?
Well, mainly I have clients who have small businesses. They're the solo owner. Mm-hmm. And, they might have family members that work there. And their W-2 comes from their business, or their K-1 comes from their business. Mm-hmm. So I work with small business owners.
So what are some of the major mistakes that Lee and I are small business owners? Mm-hmm. Now, in our case, we're small business owners not because we have a particular affinity for small business. We just haven't figured out how to turn it into a big business yet.
Right.
We're working on it. We'll take all the help we can get. But what are some of the more common mistakes or patterns that you see the small business owners, maybe just a few things that we could keep in mind to do or not do that would make your job easier and equip you to help us?
Good record keeping is important. So if you keep good records, that's good. You got your payroll stuff. You've been doing your monthly QuickBooks and stuff like that. And you have your year-end QuickBooks and, you have your payroll records, sales tax records, stuff like that. So that makes it a lot easier on me to prepare your taxes. But from your perspective, I think you have to budget. And budget in your payroll. Go ahead and make a decision on how much you're going to pay yourself, pay your payroll taxes, and plan for your fixed assets and people that you're going to bring in, so you won't have that build up on you with that interest rate that the government charges.
You don't want any surprises, right?
Right, and the penalties that they add on. So because you have that for the federal government and the state. Right.
You remember, Lee, we had that conversation about what we were going to pay ourselves.
Yeah.
And we had to change that number.
That's changed.
There was some math that didn't make that happen.
Right. So now, how much of your time do you spend kind of proactively helping your clients, and how much are you spending, like, after the fact, like, doing the taxes?
That's what I'm trying to, like I said, right now I'm really trying to build my own clientele. I've been out there working with other folks. So it's, but generally it's not a lot of time spent. A lot of clients want to try to do things after the fact.
And so, there's not much you can do after.
Right. I resemble that remark.
You can't create those.
Here's my shoebox. And did I tell you about the fire we had 2 years ago? And
right.
I forgot to pay my taxes in '89. And yeah.
Well, some of those things you can, but you can't. you can't create that home office if you didn't create it, back a couple of years ago. You can't put that money aside in a retirement account, But you can go back and look back through your records and create, business.
At least capture the truth, right? So,
right. You can capture some things to be in compliance, but it won't be your working your best possible tax situation.
And that's what you're trying to do, is help your clients be more proactive and get ahead of things and give them the tools to help them help themselves.
That is ideally what I would love to do. I would like to get there to prepare the personal financial statements. and also, you know, to look at the tax estimate. So you can do the tax plan to see how you would like to spend your money
right
in the future.
And then that way you can focus on helping them save for retirement and do long-term things if you can get kind of some of the systems right in place now.
Right. So right now you got some – I think they're going to expand the use of the tax education credit
mm-hmm.
for kids, you know, stuff like that. And, yeah, just pretty much kind of plan for how you want to spend, how you want your business to look, and how can, you know, how your travel can help you to be the type of business you want to be and also save you some tax dollars.
So if a small business person is willing to grow up and be adult and face reality and have a meaningful conversation with you about some of these issues, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
Okay, so you can reach me at 1040, the letter N, B-O-O-K-S at gmail.com, or you can call me at 470-388-3842.
All right. And the name of the company?
It's Tax and Book.
Tax and Book. All right, Tyrone Shanks, thanks so much for coming by and visiting with us, man.
Thank you.
All right. We will be back in a few from WeWork Radio.